Our text for today is Judges chapter 2 and verse 10, Reclaiming a Lost Generation. Judges chapter 2, verse 10, and I'll read verses 9 and 10 both for the context. Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. And they buried him in the land of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gash. After that whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what He had done for Israel. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank You today for Your Word. And Lord, we are a nation too that has many generations. And we know that first generation made the sacrifices and the generations after seem to be squandering it. One generation in particular, Lord, that we are in right now. And I just ask and pray You'd use this sermon today and this word that You give us, Lord, to reach out to that generation and see it saved instead of lost. Pray You'd come to us now by the power of Your Holy Spirit and open Your word. Teach us from it exactly what it is You want us to know. We ask all this in Your name. Amen. Last Saturday, May the 16th, Victoria's Secret model Naomi Campbell got on a United Airlines flight dressed head to toe in a full hazmat suit with a mask, goggles, face shield, gloves, and a big container of handy wipes because she's scared to death of getting COVID-19. And the question is, why? Because she's still relatively young and healthy. The plane was almost 95% empty. And experts say dressing up like the Michelin Man is way over the top for getting on an airplane. But sadly enough, Naomi Campbell is like way too many other people in her generation who are scared to death of getting sick and dying. And not because they're hypochondriacs, but because they're scared to death of dying. Scared to death. And folks, sadly enough, there's way too many other people in America like that too. But the text we have in front of us this morning tells us how we can fix that. At this point in Old Testament history, Moses has led the children of Israel out of slavery in Egypt and brought them to the Promised Land. Then after Moses died, Joshua, his successor, got him to conquer most of the Canaanites and take the Promised Land. And even though Joshua and the elders who served with him kept the people faithful to God during their lifetime, after they died, the people went whole hog idolatry. So Judges chapter 2 verse 10, there grew up a generation that neither knew the Lord or what He had done for Israel. The biggest threat to the United States of America today is not COVID-19. The biggest threat to the United States of America is our response to it. And the reason that response is so wrong and dangerous and over the top is because there are too many people in our generation who do not know the Lord or what He has done for America either. But the good news is they still can. Our text this morning, Judges chapter 2 verse 10, tells us three things that we need to do to reclaim a lost generation that's going to hell in a handbasket and taking America with it. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing that we need to do to reclaim a lost generation, we need to acknowledge God. And that's exactly what the second generation after Joshua is not doing here. Now, Joshua's generation remembered how God brought them out of slavery and parted the Red Sea and the Jordan River and how God caused the sun to stand still for an entire day so that they could win a battle and how God caused the walls of Jericho to come tumbling down and helped them beat the Canaanites like a rented mule. But then that second generation never experienced a lick of those things. So that was just ancient history to them. So they blew off God and turned to idols. They didn't acknowledge God. And if that sounds familiar, it's because too many people in our generation today aren't acknowledging God either. Here we are, up to our eyeballs in one of the worst crises in the history of this nation, and who's even given God the time of day? The American Psychological Association says Americans can't take this lockdown any longer because addictions are going through the roof and millions more Americans are suffering from anxiety and depression. So bad, they're predicting 75,000 more suicides because of it. 75,000. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7 says the Lord is your peace. So if people don't have the Lord, they're not going to have any peace. People need to acknowledge God. But what are people turning to? What in the world are they looking for? Study came out this past week. The average American who lives to be 80 years old will spend 34 of those years in front of a screen, and most of that with a phone. Folks, Alexander Graham Bell didn't even want a phone in his office because he said it was nothing but a distraction. And that was back in 1898, and he's even the guy who invented the thing, for crying out loud. Americans are turning to idols too. Last May the 14th, CNN had a virtual town hall meeting on the COVID-19 crisis, and a panel made up of experts formerly from the CDC and Health and Human Services, along with 17-year-old spoiled brat climate change activist Greta Thunberg, who's best known for disrespecting her elders and skipping school. God help us, people! This is who we turn to in a time of crisis? And Christians are barely acknowledging God either. George Barna tells us before the lockdown, only 22% of people in America who call themselves Christians ever bothered going to church on a Sunday morning. So for almost 80% of the Christians in this country, didn't matter that church was closed or not, because church was already non-essential to them, even before the lockdown. The biggest problem in America is not COVID-19. The biggest problem in America, people have forgotten God. And even slamming the very idea of God. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo said this after the infection numbers in New York State started going down. The number went down because we brought the number down. Fate did not do that. Destiny did not do that. God did not do that. So prayer and God are just a total non-factor. All kinds of celebrities now have resurrected that old John Lennon song, Imagine. It talks about uniting the world around the idea that there is no God at all. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. Every one of us has seen this commercial on TV.
Things are most uncertain. We turn to the most certain thing there is. Science. Science can overcome diseases, create cures, and yes, beat pandemics. It has before. It will again. Because when it's faced with a new opponent, it doesn't back down. It revs up, asking questions till it finds what it's looking for. That's the power of science.
In times of uncertainty, we turn to the only certain thing there is. Not God, of course, but science. Talk about a slap in the face. Now, science is a gift from God, and the only reason that science is possible is because there is a God who created all things according to natural laws that people can discover and study. But hey, who needs God anyway? And the scariest thing of all are all the attacks on our churches. Last March the 19th, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker closed all the churches in Illinois. And you know what? Nobody knew what COVID-19 was back then, so okay, fine. But 10 weeks later now, we know the truth. COVID-19 is highly contagious, but it is not highly deadly for over 99% of the people in this country. And yet, no gatherings of Christians more than 10 in the churches. Folks, according to that standard, the Last Supper would have been illegal in Illinois, because Jesus plus 12 disciples is too many people. And now, no more gatherings of 50 people until there's a vaccine for COVID-19. Folks, we still don't even have a vaccine for the common cold. Last Sunday, Elim Romanian Church in Albany Park, Chicago, tried to meet. Very few people, did all the masking, all the social distancing. People in that church would have been safer than anybody who went to Walmart that day. And yet Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot fined that church $500 and even got the city to tow away the cars of the people who attended. Chicago is one of the biggest murder capitals of the entire world. Yet officials there have time to harass churches? Folks, in Illinois right now, we are letting convicted murderers out of our prisons, but we are not letting Christians go into their churches. Does anybody else see how screwed up that is, or is it just me? The church is not part of the problem. The church is part of the solution. People need to seek God. And it's amazing that it took somebody like her to remind everybody of that. Kourtney Kardashian is one of the Kardashian sisters, who are famous simply for being famous. But a couple of years ago, Kanye West got really serious about Jesus Christ. And his sister-in-law, Kourtney Kardashian, started going to church with her kids, Zoe Church in Los Angeles. And last March the 14th, she posted that on Instagram. It's 2 Chronicles 7:13 and 14. God says, "When I shut up the heavens so there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." And then Kourtney Kardashian said this, "Pay attention, children. God is using this epidemic to get people to repent of sin and turn to Him." And folks, we need to acknowledge God and do exactly what that woman is saying. Because if we don't turn to God, we're going to turn to other people, or even worse, we're going to turn to ourselves. Just like He's telling us to do. Last Saturday night, May the 16th, hold the video. Every major TV network in America carried a virtual graduation ceremony called Graduate Together for all the 2020 high school seniors all across America who missed their own graduation ceremony because of COVID-19. LeBron James was the host, the Jonas Brothers sang, and the featured speaker was former President Barack Obama. Here's just a little bit of what he said.
There are a lot of our country's deep-seated problems, from massive economic inequality to ongoing racial disparities to a lack of basic health care for people who need it. It's woken a lot of young people up to the fact that the old ways of doing things just don't work. That it doesn't matter how much money you make if everyone around you is hungry and sick, and that our society and our democracy only work when we think not just about ourselves, but about each other. It's also pulled the curtain back on another hard truth, something that we all have to eventually accept once our childhood comes to an end. You know, all those adults that you used to think were in charge and knew what they were doing? Turns out they don't have all the answers. A lot of them aren't even asking the right questions. So if the world's going to get better, it's going to be up to you. That realization may be kind of intimidating, but I hope it's also inspiring. With all the challenges this country faces right now, nobody can tell you, "No, you're too young to understand," or "This is how it's always been done." Because with so much uncertainty, with everything suddenly up for grabs, this is your generation's world to shape.
Did you catch that? Bunch of new age self-help cycle babble because absolutely nothing about God or knowing Him or acknowledging Him or serving Him or following Him. Former President Barack Obama said, "This is your generation's world to shape." Nope, world still belongs to God. Do what you think is right and listen to the truth inside yourself. No, you do what God says in His Word is right and you listen to the only source of truth there is, and that's Jesus Christ. The old ways of doing things, He said, just don't work anymore. Yes, they do. God says, Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, "Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient path. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls." It's people not walking in that path that God laid out and blowing off God and ignoring Him. That's why the world's so screwed up like it is now. If America's ever going to get any better, it's up to you. No, it's up to you to cry out to God and repent of your sin and ask Jesus Christ to save your soul and become a Joshua for your generation and bring many, many hearts and minds of other people to the Lord yourself. Don't listen to the hogwash that Barack Obama's saying. You listen to God. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 24. "Let a man glory in this, that he knows and acknowledges and honors me, because that is the only hope that any nation, any generation, any single one of us really has." The first thing that we need to do in order to reclaim a lost generation, we need to acknowledge God. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do to reach a lost generation. We not only need to acknowledge God, we also need to remember our heritage. And this is something that this second generation of Israelites were not doing here. Now, the first generation fought the battles and broke the backs of the Canaanites and then left it up to each one of the different individual Israelite tribes to do all the necessary mop-up work and fighting in their individual territory. And they left them a godly heritage to preserve. God would be their God, and they would be His people and shine His light to the entire world. First generation fought the battles, but since the second generation didn't have to fight for anything they had, they didn't want to have to fight to hang on to it either. Same thing with America. That first generation of Americans fought the battles and left us a godly heritage to preserve. Faith in God, limited government, personal responsibility, freedom of religion. So America could shine God's light to the entire world too. But because this generation didn't have to fight for what we have, we don't want to have to fight to hang on to it either. But people, listen to me. We better be fighting, because right now that heritage, all of our rights and freedoms are being taken away from us right in front of our very eyes. Just this past Tuesday, in a subway in New York City, a young mom pulled her mask down just to take a breath. Just for a nanosecond, six New York City police officers wrestled her to the ground, manhandled her, and handcuffed her right in front of her three-year-old daughter. This is what it looked like.
We're learning more about a coronavirus-related arrest at the Atlantic Avenue subway station in Brooklyn. You can see police taking a woman down right here after she swatted at them. This all happening in front of the woman's child. Police say the woman was told she could not ride the train because she was not wearing a face mask covering correctly. And was.
Folks, if that doesn't show you what kind of police state is going on in America right now, I don't know what does. Last May the 13th, Judge Robert Gettleman ruled that the lawsuit filed by the Elim Romanian Church in Chicago against Governor J.B. Pritzker's order to restrict all church activities was, quote, ill-founded and selfish. Folks, we have God-given constitutional rights that government cannot take away from us, but now we're supposed to feel selfish about wanting to exercise them. Do we see the brainwashing that's going on? And just yesterday, the Chicago Department of Public Health said they're going to take action to declare that church building a public nuisance and have it destroyed. What in the world are they talking about? Folks, that's what they do in communist China to churches. Last May the 1st, which in case you don't know, is International Workers' Day to celebrate communism. Last May the 1st, Congressman Bobby Rush from Chicago introduced House Bill 6666. And the number 666 purposely chosen to tweak us Christians. And that bill will spend $100 billion a year to turn ordinary American citizens into state snitches and vigilantes to do whatever is necessary to contain anyone who might be infected with COVID-19, even stripping away their constitutional rights, dragging them out of their own houses, and separating them from their own children. All in the name of public safety, of course. So everybody listen to this sermon right now. If you haven't been paying attention before, you need to wake up, because this is the biggest, fastest, big government power grab in the history of this country. Our rights, our freedoms, our Christian heritage has never been more threatened than it's being threatened right now. And why? Because the facts and the truth about COVID-19 do not justify this national lockdown in any way, shape, or form. See the map? The entire area in the green in the United States has just as many deaths as all the area in the yellow, which has just as many deaths as the area in the red. 99% of all people who get COVID-19 under the age of 60 fully recover. 99.2% of all deaths in New York City are from people who were obese or who had diabetes, heart disease, or high blood pressure. 52% of all deaths in the United States are in New York City. 2,000 counties in the United States have either one or zero deaths. 78% of all COVID-19 infections and 90% of all deaths in Illinois are in Chicago and Cook County. 65% of all deaths in Illinois are in nursing homes. And I could go on and on and on. And if any of those numbers surprise you, it's because the media purposely never reports them. So this isn't about health anymore. It's about control. This isn't about serving public health. It's about serving an agenda to destroy that Christian heritage and destroy this nation as it was founded by marginalizing the churches and replacing limited government and personal responsibility with big socialist government that controls every single aspect of people's lives. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said this, "This crisis allows us the opportunity to make the deep structural changes that can lead us to a better place." Bingo. We see that agenda in the scare tactics. COVID-19 anywhere is COVID-19 everywhere. And for the love of God, whatever you do, don't even think about reopening anything because everybody's going to die. And everybody just has to get used to the new normal. 2 weeks ago, an official from the CDC said Americans should never, ever sing the national anthem again in large groups. This weekend, Memorial Day, so many cemeteries are closed, so no American flags placed on the graves of our military veterans because it wouldn't be safe. See the brave new world they're building for us to live in? We see the agenda in Nancy Pelosi's latest $3 trillion stimulus bill that would extend unemployment benefits all the way till January of 2021. Create a crisis and then rig the solution. Keep the schools closed so parents can go back to work. Notice how many other countries have already reopened schools. So you pay people to stay home. So you get them addicted to free stuff from the government so they keep voting that government into power time after time after time. It's not about flattening the curve anymore. It's about flattening the economy and shredding the Constitution and implementing socialism. And the even bigger agenda is globalism. And because the new world order needs a worldwide crisis for an excuse to take over, COVID-19 is your man. Former British Prime Minister Gordon Brown said this, "This is not something that just one country can deal with alone. There has to be a one-world coordinated response. With both the medical and economic aspects of this crisis, there has to be a one-world government in charge of all things." United Nations says there will be a one-world government within 12 years. And remember that slogan? No borders, no wall, no USA at all. Americans, welcome to the new reality if people don't stand up and fight against it. And the question is, where's all the pushback? Now, thank goodness for what President Trump has said and done, and the Department of Justice, and some Christians, and people going to rallies, and local law enforcement agencies, and state's attorneys who aren't going to march lockstep with the new world order. But where in heaven's name is everybody else? There's people listening to this sermon right now. Do you like having your freedoms being taken away? Patrick Henry said, "Give me liberty or give me death." But too many Americans are saying, "I'm scared of death, so take away my liberty." We went from 9/11 saying, "Let's roll." Now it's, "Let's roll up in a ball." Folks, our founding fathers fought an entire revolutionary war for things that are a lot less happening in America right now. So for crying out loud, quit hiding in the tall grass and stand up and fight. Because this is part of our heritage. The picture you see on the screen is one of the first flags ever used by the United States of America. The very first flag. It appeared on 6 ships commissioned by General George Washington, October of 1775, as part of the first U.S. Navy. And it shows the Tree of Liberty with a quote from John Locke above it that says, "An appeal to heaven." And that flag sends exactly the same message that we need to hear today. As Americans, we will stand up and fight and defend and protect our rights. So help us God. John Adams said this, "You will never know how much it costs the present generation to preserve freedom. I hope you make good use of it." Me too. But first of all, we need to remember it's there. We need to remember that's part of our heritage and we need to protect it and defend it. And folks, when we do remember our heritage, it's absolutely incredible how God can use it. Billy Graham Evangelistic Association is reporting that last May the 14th, a 53-year-old police officer they called David to protect his identity, who had served over 20 years on his local force, was at the end of his rope. From dealing with all kinds of people who were on extra edge because of COVID-19 and because he was afraid of getting sick and dying himself. Earlier this month, his department had ordered him to get tested and go into a 2-week quarantine for possible exposure. And while he was on quarantine, the devil got inside of his head and was absolutely freaking him out. so bad that last May the 14th, he finally looked over at his Siri virtual assistant and just cried out, "How can I get saved?" And what do you know? That Siri picked up on the word saved and automatically Googled the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association on his website, on his computer. And he called the emergency hotline number. And he talked to a phone counselor named Gloria. And he said, "I'm really struggling with anxiety." And she said, "Well, anxiety is a normal response to stressful situations like we're in with COVID-19. But," she said, "a personal relationship with Jesus Christ can give you all the peace that you need." And then he said, "Well, what I'm really anxious about, I'm afraid of dying." So she started quoting that verse, Romans chapter 6, verse 23, "The wages of sin is death." And then David got sarcastic and said, "Gee, thanks, now I'm even more anxious." She said, "Let me finish the verse. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And she said, "David, right now God is reaching out to you because He wants you to have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He wants you to be saved and have that assurance of eternal life and the peace that comes along with it." Then she quoted John 3:16. And what do you know? David did pray to receive Christ and he got saved and he got all that peace that he was looking for. But folks, do you know why that really happened? Because a 53-year-old American still had enough sense and enough awareness of his godly Christian heritage to know that there is a God, and if he cried out to Him, that God would save him and give him peace. There's people listening to this sermon right now. You're part of that lost generation. You're feeling lost and helpless and hopeless because of COVID-19. But you need to realize that's part of your heritage too, to cry out to God, just like David did. And if you do cry out to God and repent of your sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ and the blood He shed on the cross to take your sins away and ask Him to come into your heart and be your Savior, you can get saved. And you can have that exact same kind of peace David the policeman had. The second thing that we need to do to reclaim a lost generation, we need to remember our heritage. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to do to reclaim a lost generation. We not only need to acknowledge God, we not only need to remember our heritage, but third, we just need to reach out to that generation. Because that is exactly what the second generation of Israelites here did not do enough with the generation that followed them. The first generation knows the Lord. Second generation has a memory of Him. Third generation doesn't have a clue. God is just some person that their parents talk about once in a while, but never to them, because parents are too busy telling them how special and gifted and awesome they are and giving them trophies just for participating. So that whole generation doesn't even think that they need God because they've got Spider-Man and Wonder Woman and apps for everything. And because they know their snowplow parents will step in and lie to get them into college and fix all their problems for them. Sound familiar? Christians, we need to reach out to that generation because that generation is as lost as dirt in a snowstorm. Because it's all about them. This is the generation that posts 100,000 selfies per second on Instagram. This is the generation that posts every single awesome detail about their awesome life on social media. This is the generation who takes pictures of food before they eat it, because even the food that they eat is awesome. These are the parents who even post pictures of their kids' first potty on Facebook. Because their kids are so awesome, their first potty has to be awesome too. And why wouldn't anybody want to see that? Good gravy, people, is nothing sacred? Well, not sacred, but you know what I mean. And over one-third of this generation are called nuns, N-O-N-E-S, because they have no spiritual faith in anything whatsoever except government. Because over 70% of them want socialism and want a socialist for president. I guess Bernie Sanders was right. The problem is, the first generation fights the battles, the second generation enjoys the spoils, the third generation gives it all away. And that's exactly what's happening now. Generation Z, the youngest generation in America right now, born after 1995, is the most atheist generation in the history of the United States. You know what else is true? They're also the most alcoholic, the most drug addicted, the most depressed, and the most suicidal generation in the history of the United States. Because Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 20 says, the Lord is your life. So they don't have the Lord, they don't have life. And they don't. Not by a mile and a half. Christians, we need to reach out to that generation because the second generation never passed the torch for whatever reason. And believe you me, the devil is not worried about social distancing or staying 6 feet away from them either because he's all over them. TikTok is now teaching kids to stick pennies in phone chargers so they can start a fire in their house. Lady Gaga's One World Together concert last April the 18th taught kids to be good little globalists. Walmart, I kid you not, is now selling voodoo dolls for kids. And the latest issue of Teen Vogue teaches kids how to sex naked pictures of themselves to God knows who. Christians, we don't teach those kids to follow Jesus Christ. The devil and the world will teach them not to. And why can't we do that? Because we teach them everything else. We teach kids to floss, recycle, give back, and volunteer at nonprofits because it looks good on a college application. We teach kids everything from driver's ed to calculus, how to use a condom to how to save the polar bears. But what in the world are we teaching them about getting saved themselves? And Christian young people, let me ask you, what are you teaching other young people in your generation? Last October the 3rd was National Bring Your Bible to School Day. So Christian young people, let me ask you, what did you do last October the 3rd to be some kind of a Christian witness to the kids at your school that don't know Jesus? That 17-year-old girl right there named Christy Madison from Minneapolis, Minnesota said this, I took 2 whole cases of Bibles to school with me. And I gave away 21 Bibles, 16 New Testaments, all the Spanish Bibles, and I had requests for 17 more Bibles that I'll order and pass out next week. I couldn't believe how many kids were really interested and really wanted them. So she didn't take her Bible to school. She took cases of Bibles and gave them to the kids at school who didn't have one of their own. Christian young people, the best people to reach young people in your generation is you. Because my generation's already decided the only thing that matters is scrolling through Facebook. So Christian young people, I am calling you out today because your generation is going to hell in a handbasket and you're not going to get them saved by watching YouTube videos and playing Fortnite. So right here, right now, you're either going to step up for God or you're going to sell out to the world. What's it going to be? And when it comes to the reach in the next generation, parents, you have the biggest responsibility. But you also have the greatest opportunity. Because good or bad, you will always, always, always be the number one influence in your kid's life. Always. And even though every single generation of kids has to make that decision for Jesus on their own, parents, let me ask you, what are you doing to make that choice of Christianity even more attractive for your kids? Abraham Lincoln said what really turned him on to God was not just his mother reading the Bible to him every single night, but the expression on her face as she read it. How excited she was doing it. Abraham Lincoln said that more than anything else convinced him the Bible really was something special and God was real. Titus chapter 2 verse 10, in every way we make the teaching about God our Savior attractive. Parents, are you doing that? Are you teaching your kids? Because listen, it is absolutely impossible not to teach your kids. Because even when you don't think you're teaching them anything, you're still teaching them a lot. If you stay home on Sunday morning and skip church to get the grass mowed before it rains, you are teaching your kids that any excuse is a good excuse at all to miss church. Parents, if your kids never see you reading the Bible, you are teaching your kids that God really doesn't matter. And that your job, the Cubs, Tiger King, any kind of worm wrestle at all is a lot more exciting and a lot more important. Parents, if you don't pray with your kids before you eat as a family and before your kids go to sleep at night, you are teaching your kids that it's perfectly okay to ignore Him. And listen to me, what kids learn early on, they never forget. And parents, if what you're teaching them is not being taught in love, God help them. rock and roller, Little Richard Penniman, died this past week at age 87. Little Richard was born the youngest of seven boys with a dad who was a deacon at the church they went to in Macon, Georgia. And little Richard Penniman was just more effeminate than all of his brothers and his dad. And his dad hated him for it. So he would make little Richard take all of his clothes off. Dad would tie that little boy naked to a pole and whip him until the blood flew all over the place, trying to beat that thing out of him. So, of course, little Richard grew up hating his dad and turning against guys and started acting out gay. And even though little Richard Penniman never stopped trusting in Jesus Christ, and even though eventually he went on and got a theology degree and became an ordained minister and toured with all kinds of evangelists and publicly declared many, many times that homosexuality was a sin, he struggled with same-sex attraction his entire life. Moms and dads, just because your little boy isn't Randy Macho Man Savage doesn't mean he's gay or that he's going to become gay. That faith link between what the parents believe and what the kids believe depends so much on the love link between the parents and the kids. So parents, teach your children well. And I know there's parents listening to me right there. Don't you dare think that you got nothing to teach your kids because you're not rich and popular and famous like he is. For the last 2 months, millions of Americans watched that documentary on ESPN, The Last Dance, about the last Michael Jordan Chicago Bulls 1997-1998 NBA championship team. And millions of Americans got reminded all over again what an incredible basketball player Michael Jordan really was. Six-time NBA champion, including 2 three-peats. Six-time NBA Championship Series MVP. Five-time league MVP. And Michael Jordan was loved and worshipped and adored and made gazillions of dollars as endorsements because he was so dedicated to winning, his own teammates were scared to death of him. But on the court, there was nobody better. But off the court, Michael Jordan's personal life was an absolute mess. Got his girlfriend Juanita pregnant at the University of North Carolina, and she had to threaten him with a paternity suit to get him to marry her in 1989. And even though he cheated on her, they eventually had 3 kids together, Jeffrey, Marcus, and Jasmine. But Michael Jordan was gone a lot, either balling or practicing or losing millions of dollars in gambling. And growing up in the shadow of his heirness took a really big toll on those kids. Jeffrey and Marcus both played college ball, but weren't good enough to go pro. 2010, they were both arrested for illegal gambling, underage gambling in Las Vegas. Gee, wonder where they learned that from. 2012, they were arrested again for being drunk and disorderly, getting drunk and fighting with a bunch of women. And then 2 years ago, 2018, daughter Jasmine got pregnant and had a baby with a basketball player from Syracuse University. Then 2007, Michael Jordan divorced his wife Juanita because one night at a club in Florida, he met a Cuban-American model named Yvette Pareto, whose parents had served time in prison for insurance fraud. They started shacking up. In 2013, they finally got married in a $10 million wedding and a prenup that said she only gets $1 million a year for every year they're married if they ever get a divorce. Then in 2014, Michael Jordan and his new wife had twin baby girls. So in an episode of the Today Show in 2015, Michael Jordan took a long look back at his life and told his kids, "Don't be like Mike." Now compare that NBA superstar to that NBA no-name. Matt Steiginga, who starred at Michigan State University and was drafted by the Chicago Bulls in 1992, but wasn't good enough to make the team. So he played in the CBA, in Japan, in South America, basketball Siberia, till 1996 when Jerry Krause invited him to come back and try out for the Bulls again. But again, wasn't good enough to make the team. But then with less than 2 weeks left in the 96-97 season, after Tony Kukoc got a foot injury, Jerry Krause signed him to a short-term contract. So Matt Steiginga played 2 games, total of 12 minutes, scored his only NBA field goal on an alley-oop from Steve Kerr, and finished his entire NBA career with a grand total of 3 points. Big whoop. But here's the kicker. Matt Steiginga and his wife, Jennifer, are both born-again Christians, absolutely committed to their marriage and to each other. And they are raising their three children to know Jesus. Homeschooling, taking them to church, reading the Bible with them, memorizing Scripture together, and doing everything they can so that those kids will walk with Jesus for the rest of their lives. So there's superstar Michael Jordan, 6-time NBA champion, greatest basketball player who ever lived, with a name and a face known all over the world. And then there's Matt Steiginger, who had a half a cup of coffee in the NBA and is not making $30 million a year in endorsements, and has a name that people can barely pronounce, and is not even famous enough to have a picture of him and his whole family together anywhere on the internet. Matt who? But see, Matt Steiginger has devotions with his kids and prays and reads the Bible with them. Michael Jordan doesn't. Matt Steiginger is the priest of his household and the spiritual leader of his home. Michael Jordan isn't. Matt Steiginger is reaching that next generation for the sake of their soul and the soul of a nation. Michael Jordan isn't. So you tell me, which one of these two guys is having the biggest, most important impact on their kids and on the world for the only thing that really matters, for Jesus Christ and for eternity? Parents, let me ask you right now, you want to be like him? You want to be like him? Listen to me. Who you are and what you accomplish in the eyes of the world means absolutely nothing, nothing to God. So don't you dare worry about not being like Mike. You be like Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you reclaim a lost generation for Christ. Starting with your kids. And I know there's some parents listening to me right now saying, Kevin, I can't reach my kids. I know you can't, but the Holy Spirit can. You cannot make that decision for Christ for your children, but the Holy Spirit can move their hearts to do it if we pray and ask Him to. The bad news is we are one generation away from losing this nation and all of our rights and freedoms and our Christian heritage. But the good news is we're also only one generation away from protecting it and getting it all back. And it starts with you reaching your own kids for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that has to start with prayer, because everything depends on prayer. And not just that your kids would be saved, but that your kids would be raised up and be Joshuas and Deborahs and judges and priests and kings, that they might call the hearts of their generation back to their spiritual senses and back to Christ. We're going to pray. So parents, grandparents, wherever you are, if you've got your kids or grandkids with you, I don't care how young or old those kids or grandkids may be, would you just reach out and put your arms around them and lay hands on them, because we're going to pray. If your kids are not with you for whatever reason, then you still do this in your heart and in your mind and in your spirit. If you don't have kids or grandkids, then you do it for your nieces or nephews. And I know there's some parents listening to me right now. You say, Kevin, I do not even know where my kids are. That's okay. God does. We pray anyway. There grew up a generation that neither knew the Lord or what He had done. God, not this one, not ours, not this generation. Because today we are reclaiming them for Jesus Christ. Not just that they might be saved, but that they would be faithful and walk with Jesus until He takes them home. Let's pray. Lord, we know that during this whole COVID-19 crisis, all the problems, all the weaknesses get even more exposed. We know, Lord, that's especially true in marriages and families, relationships between parents and kids especially. There are young kids listening to this sermon right now. They don't have any idea what's going on. There are older kids who kind of understand. But Lord, more than anything else, more than a physical healing, we need a spiritual healing in this nation that starts in our own homes. And Lord, I pray for all the parents and grandparents now with their arms around their children or grandchildren, great-grandchildren, whatever it may be. Lord God, we pray that they would be saved. We cry out for these kids' spirits and their souls. We know, Lord, if You don't come for another 500 years, it is absolutely critical that this generation turns to You, because we are at the end of the road. Lord, this generation needs to know you and seek you and cry out for you. And we just ask, Lord, that you'd start doing a work that would shock everybody who hears about it. Lord, you can move in people's hearts. There are parents listening to this sermon right now. Their kids are gone. They're gone in a gay lifestyle. They're gone in a party lifestyle. We hear all kinds of requests. Kids turning to drugs, turning to prostitution. Lord, we ask right now, supernaturally, you would grab a hold of their hearts and bring them back to you. We just thank you, Lord, those parents still love them and care about them and will never stop praying. But Lord, we pray for answers. We pray for progress. Lord, I pray for parents and grandparents, aunts and uncles who are praying right now that you would keep us faithful as examples to them. Lord, that we would show the joy and the peace that comes from having a relationship with Christ, even during these tough times. Lord, we are praying that you would do something today that we cannot do. We cannot save these kids. We cannot make a decision for them. Lord, but your Holy Spirit can move their hearts. We ask that that would be done today, Lord, for your glory, for their sake, but most of all, Lord, for your glory. They'd be trophies of your grace. And Lord, that you would raise them up as witnesses, priests, prophets, kings, to their generation to bring more and more people to you before you come again. God, I pray you'd heal the heartaches. I know there's many, all the tears that have been cried over kids that have walked away from you. Lord, we're claiming today that's stopping. They're coming back. They're coming back to Christ. And there's going to be a generation that's raised up to bring revival to this nation. Let it start here. All these things we ask in your name, and thank you. Amen.